this morning, turn to your Bibles, Titus, the second chapter, and we're going to start with the 11th verse. And it reads, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Father, what a word. Thank you for this love letter that you've given to each and every one of us to cling to make it a part of our lives. For when we make your word a part of our lives, you are a part of our lives. We're so privileged to be connected that way. Father, I pray that our worship this morning, as we prayed earlier, that this would be a pleasant aroma to you, and that what is shared this morning would be affixed to our lives, that we just wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Father, I ask that you would speak only what you would have me to say, nothing more and nothing less. In your name I pray. Amen. So, as I said, this week, kids, big kids, people will be going back to school this week, right? And so some parents are like, yay! Some are like, okay, it's time, you know? And so I think for me, it's exciting to see my great-granddaughter, who Mexico is her country where she's from. She starts her first week of Americans going to school in America. And so that's exciting to me. She was fortunate enough to get into a school that bilingual speaking there. I think it's called Frontura School. And so I went and checked it out, you know, drove by there, pictures, you know, and just something that grandparents do, I guess. But we have open house tomorrow, and so she'll be going there. Kind of excited about that. I don't know if you all feel the same way, but for me, sometimes I look back at my high school years, especially my high school years, and I wish I could go back. And not goof off like I did when I was in high school, when I was going to high school, not goof off, but to pay attention to what was being taught, those things that I thought that I wouldn't need, but I'm finding out now I do need, I think that would have been good to do. And I'm just letting you students now know, get everything you can from those who are trying to teach you, all right? Don't worry about, trying to be the coolest looking person in the school, a popularity thing. Get your learning on, all right? Okay. I don't think that very many of us here, maybe a few of us that I know of, are going to be going back to school or be in that role as a student. But this morning, we will see what it is like to be in his classroom, to always be in his school. It's a school that you started when you trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. That's when you enrolled. Maybe you enrolled in a school when you were young. Maybe you were at a church camp, or maybe it was in later years. Maybe it was just last week even that you became a student, because now you believe in Him. So why is school all that important? What are we trying to get out of school? I think that the goal for most of us, we wanna graduate, right? We wanna graduate, we wanna complete the course and those things that we have learned from our teachers that will prove to be those things that we learn to be assets to our lives. Tools in our toolbox, if you will, as most of you will be entering adult life. The goal of God's school is that you become just like His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the goal. This is the highest goal in life, to be like Jesus, right? I mean, how many times He said, hey, follow me? He says in Romans 8:29, He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what we want. When you say, I trust you, then you've committed to following Jesus, to be like Him, to want to walk like Him, to want to talk like Him. You want to be... You look at Him as your mentor, as your role model, your example. There's a crucial difference, though, between when you enter His high school. You don't have to wait for a diploma when you go into His school. With the school of Christ-likeness, the very first day you step into school, He says, here you go. Here's a diploma. All that work, the exams, the hours spent studying have been completed by Jesus Christ. You get me? He's already done everything. He paid the price for your graduation. When we look at Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Completed from the start, already holy, righteous, and worthy. Diploma stamped with King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's nothing more that one would want to have embossed on a certificate of completion. Read what God says in His Word. What He says. He says in Romans 5:1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My brother talked about it this morning. He was talking about grace. We know what grace is, right? It's something we receive with something we haven't earned. It's getting something good that we don't deserve. The diploma of graduation day cannot be called grace unless we really deserve to flunk out. You've earned it. But God's diploma, with His stamp of approval, allowing you to enter into his kingdom, is totally unearned. You've done nothing to earn it. We can only receive this by grace. It's a wonderful thing, yes? But if we as students of Christ already have our diploma, then what's the point? One would say, well, if I've got my diploma, then what's the point of being in His school? Like, I've got the paper. Why should I be in school? Let's just drop out and live like the world says to live. The point of Christ paying our prices so that we can freely live for Him, with Him. We learn to walk with Him, and we learn from Him. Only then can the real training begin. Yes, we are right with God, but our behavior, our mind, and our actions are not like Jesus, and that's our life project, to be like Him. Titus writes that salvation comes from all people. In that 12th verse, it says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope. The word Titus says training there, and training there in the Greek is paideia. And so, and I may be mispronouncing that, but it's spelled P-A-I-D-E-O, all right? And training there means the same thing as that, all right? So sometimes we read a word here, and that's why it's always good to have a good concordance that you can bounce off what the real meaning, the Greek or the Hebrew means in the text. But training here means just that, all right? It means to be instructed or to be taught, to learn or to be molded into a character by reproof and admonition, bring up a child and to guide him toward maturity. This training is just not for kids. It's not just for kids, it's for big kids too. God is changing our habits. God is changing our mindset, changing our way of talking, changing our way of living. As students of Christ's likeness school, our first lesson has to be to renounce the past. Enough with the days of old. When school is in session, students no longer live a free, easy life. No more sleeping until noon, all right? No more hours filled with their own interests, right? No more, not so much of the gaming all the time. I'm picking on young kids and bigger kids too, because I know some 30-year, 40-year-olds that spend a lot of time on doing that. I'm not one, all right? Okay. But the thing of it is when we become followers of Christ, we enter into His standard of living. His rules, right? We surrender our own ways. We are in His training course. We refuse to follow and obey and recognize anything else that is not godly. We are children of the King and not of Satan, and therefore we deny anything that's not associated with Him. We are His kids. We say, hey, this is it. No more vulgar language. All right. We say no more being lazy. We say no more hating people. Especially like my brother said earlier, it's really easy for us in this flesh to not forgive, right? We come into this school to where we can learn that. We say, hey, no more distasteful things we allow to be presented in front of our eyes. No more greed, no more envy, no more pride. We put that all away. We toss it away. We kick it to the curb. Those are things that we have that natural ability to do that, right? Why is it so natural to be that ugly? I don't know any other way to put it. Why so naturally to be so prideful? You want to know how good I am? I'll tell you. Why is it so natural to do that? We need to confess that these things are not a part of our life anymore if we're going to be students of Christ. Part of that renouncing our old passion, we announce ourselves lifting self up, praising self. The world revolves around us when we are not submitted to Jesus Christ. That self has to be surrendered. I know it's so hard to say that. Surrender. I surrender. I give up everything. I know that was a thing with some military folks, because military, surrender is not an option. Surrender has a strong, is strong in that way. So, I just know that there's a couple Navy SEALs that are like, what, I gotta surrender? SEALs don't surrender. We conquer. But there are some things that you can't do by wearing that trident on your chest. You've got to surrender to Him. Secondly, as students in being Christ-like, we have to focus wholly on the present task God has given us, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We are to not give up lip service saying I'm going to follow my ungodly desires. We follow through on that by using self-control. Self-control involves two areas. The first one being we stop ourselves from doing things we ought not to do. Hold back on those desires, those things that we say, those impulses, right? Secondly, we control ourselves to certain things we should. We make sure ourself is under God's control and not under our control. If we try to do it on our own, we'll mess it up every time. No matter how strong you are, on your own, you don't stand a chance. I spoke about fasting last week. That discipline that is very rarely practiced today. Scripture speaks highly of fasting. In fact, as I spoke last week, Jesus Himself fasted. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for you. Good enough for me, right? Why do we fast? Is so that we can seek God's will, to draw closer to God. And fasting was so common in the New Testament. When you look at Matthew 6:16, it says, He says, when you fast, he doesn't say, if you fast. It's not an option. It's, when you read that text, it says, when you fast. So Scripture is assuming that we students, children of God, are fasting. Are you? Fasting is a discipline. I know our body says, oh, I want food. We're saying, I got to have that 2-all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun. I've got to have that. But God is saying, no. You need me. Put that aside. Now, granted, I understand that some people, they have to eat medically. You know, maybe they're diabetic. They have to eat. I get that. So I'm not telling you, if you're diabetic, I'm telling you to not eat, okay? But maybe there's something else that you feel that you need to have on a daily basis. Why don't you just surrender that and say, okay, the next week I'm not going to watch TV. Or I'm not going to game. Or I'm not going to whatever. You fill in that spot. But in not doing that, that time is devoted to Him. And I'm going to get on a knee or two. And it's just going to be me and Him. He and I. How often do we really deny ourselves what we deep down want? It seems like in today's culture, it's not a popular concept to do that. But the Lord says that you can do that. 1 Corinthians 10, 3:13 says, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way to escape that you may be able to endure it. Do you get that right there? There's nothing. Oh, you're like, oh, I'm so tempted to do that. Something that's not Christ-like. And you're thinking, oh, nobody will know. He does know. But He's going to give you a way out. Because if you're really connected to Him, if you're in His school, He's like, come on, really, JR? I'm using myself, okay? Not that any of you are ever tempted, okay? But really, JR? You don't need to go there. You don't need to say that. Come on, don't do that. And I feel Heavenly Father saying that. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me like, He's like, don't do that. Really? After all He's done for you? And you're going to do that? Come on, man. Don't do that. I'm telling you, I feel that. He speaks to me in that way. I know better. And He always leaves us a way out. Walking with Christ in the present means that you just don't deny ourselves ungodly desires. It means filling our lives with godly behavior. I think that as children of God, Christians, we get a real bad rap, right? You know, like, oh, geez, you guys never have any fun. Well, I go, okay, you can believe that if you want to. I mean, you know, Christians, you guys can't get drunk and all of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, like we want to have that hangover every morning. Like we're missing out on something like that. People think there's so many things that we shouldn't do. Oh, you guys can't steal. You guys can't, you're not supposed to gossip. You know, you don't have fun in the lust. Come on. Are those things that you want to have? Is that the way you want to live your life? Look at all the do's. Look at all the do's. To be able to give up your time, your resources, to say, hey, I'm going to go over here to the food pantry and help out some folks. There's people that need food. I get to do that. I get to bring in things to where kids can have jump ropes. I get to do that. I get to put a smile on a kid's face. We need to quit trying to fill our lives with other things other than Jesus Christ. Seems like so many people are trying to fill that void that's there with stuff. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with stuff, but when you're trying to use it to fill a void that only He can fill, that's where you're going to run into problems every time. It's a space that only He can fill. Nothing else can come close. Quit seeking the pleasures of the world. God can supply and will supply everything that you need. Listen to Psalms 37:4. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you hear that? Delight yourselves in the Lord. Fill your life with His thoughts and His presence. The things that you want, He wants you to have those things too. You might call it something simple, but I like seeing red salmon in my dip net. He knows that delights me. Even in the little things. And the big things too. Lastly, as students in Christ likeness school, we keep our eyes on the future. Verse 13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are always to look ahead, keep an eternal perspective on life. What is normal in this world? I think we've just seen that, right? Fear. Fear. We've seen a lot of that. What will happen to us? What's going to happen to this country? What's going to happen to our church? What's going to happen? Fear. People start predicting the day that doomsday is going to happen. They're saying, "Oh, it says right here that on 20 what was that year that everybody was all." People were tripping out when we turned from 1999 to 2000. Y2K, right? Everybody's like, "Oh, that's it. We're not ready. We're done." Click. Yep, everything's okay. As students being Christ-like, we need not to fear. Not the fear of something bad happening. We are people waiting to. We have that hope. What's that song, Miss Betty? We have a hope within our souls, brighter than the perfect day. God has given us the Spirit, and we want the world has to hear it. We have that hope. As children of God, we have that hope. We know that something good is going to happen in the end. How many of you have ever watched a movie? You've got 2 hours invested into this movie, and you're like, okay, and then all of a sudden the credits start coming up, and you're like, what? Are you kidding me right now? That's not the way the movie's supposed to end. Have you ever watched a movie like that? You're like, oh man, that was a dumb movie. I feel even dumber for watching it. You strung me along for 2 hours. There wasn't even an optional ending. Why do we hate bad endings? Because we are designed for good endings. We're designed to spend eternity with the Lord. That's a good ending. And when the credits roll, there'll only be one name. Well, no matter what goes on in this world, when we are believers, there is always a good ending. Revelation 22:3-6 reads, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him, they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. And night will be no more. They'll need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will resign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. I remember when I was doing a study on that book, and it says the sun will be no more. I mean, look at it. The sun and all the light that it gives this rock that we walk on that he created. And scripture says that we won't need that light anymore. We won't need a lamp. We won't need a flashlight, because he will radiate all the light we will ever need. Just think about that. You think about the sun and how much light it radiates. But our Heavenly Father says, you're not going to need Bob, bright orange ball, okay? You're not going to need that anymore. I'm the light. That is our blessed hope. It's not automatic to have that hope. It takes training, the work of God on our hearts, the work of the Word of God, because we naturally fear and worry and don't trust. That seems to come natural with us. But when God helps us to rest our future in him, we can pass that future onto others and to testify what we have learned. Friends, how's your training going? Are you becoming more Christ-like? More like Jesus? Is there a transformation taking place? Maybe you've been on a spiritual vacation. Vacation is over. I want to share something with you that my sister Benita, who lives in Anchorage, she is a leader. She is a warrior in Christ. Some of you have met her. She usually sits right on the front row here when she comes to visit, to worship. She doesn't visit. She comes to worship. And this week, she gave me a tidbit of encouragement that resonated that I just want to share with you. Something she shared with her ladies from the East Coast to the West Coast. She said, have you ever heard of a fixed fight? She says to me, she says, brother, have you ever heard of a fixed fight? You know what a fixed fight is, right? There's a fight and it's fixed. You already know who's going to win, right? She said, JR, the fight is fixed. Oh, brother, you might get a black eye. You might get a bruise. But the fight is fixed. We win. We're the champions. Father, thank you for sending your son for us, that we would have an opportunity to have life everlasting. A life with you, a light source, a source that's bigger than the sun. I know you created the sun, but you are always there. You have everything to sustain us. And even when times are tough and we've been beat up, you're saying, I haven't left you. I'm there for you. Walk with me. Trust in me. Love in me. Love me. Be one of my students. be like my son, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.